It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Great pleasure to be with you. Just for a reset, by the way, you can get this show on the internet, live streaming, LarryKudlow.com. No, LarryKudlowShow.com. LarryKudlowShow.com. Throughout the country, around the world, throughout the solar system and the Milky Way, wherever that happens to be. And during the week on television, you can watch us, the Fox Business Network, Monday through Friday, every day, 4 to 5 p.m. The name of the show is Kudlow. And if you can't get to us at 4, just text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. It's not hard. Anyway, let's do some stock market work. We've got Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist at Hightower Advisors and Head of Investment Solutions, and Kenny Polcari, Managing Director at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Market Strategist at Slatestone Wealth. Welcome to both of you. Stephanie Link, stock market interest rates went up this week. I'm just looking at the sheets. 2-year note went up 28 basis points. The 10-year note went up 21 basis points, 367. The 30-year mortgage rate up 10 basis points, 699. Call that 7%. Ha, ha, ha. We had terrible numbers on existing home sales. The index of leading indicators, Ms. Link, fell in April for the 13th consecutive month. The index of leading indicators put out by the Conference Board. So what do you make of it? Before we get to the Fed and all that, what do you make of it? What is the economy doing? What is the stock market doing?
Well, and thanks for having me. And it's
always
great to be on with Kenny. And it's great to be with Kenny, too. I think near term, the speculation that we might get a debt ceiling resolution, that's been the near-term catalyst, and it's helped the markets. That being said, underneath the surface, it's been only big tech. That's the story of the year. That has saved the day for now. The top five tech names are accounting for about 90% of the return so far. So it's very, very narrow. But, you know, the market's not collapsing like a lot of the bears have been expecting. And I think the reason, Larry, is because, yes, you cited a couple of the negative data points in the economy. The economy overall is holding up. You mentioned housing, existing home sales. No one wants to sell a home, right, if their mortgage is a 4%. And if they sell it, then they have to go out and get a 6% mortgage. But I think new home sales is more interesting to me. And while it's still depressed, it's at a one-year high. And the NAHB index, National Association of Home Builders, sentiment, it's the highest since September 22nd. So I'm not saying housing is great, but I think housing is troughing, number one. Number two, manufacturing. I know the ISMs are still crummy and in contraction mode, but if I listen to what some of these companies are telling me and us in conference calls, there's like a renaissance happening in the manufacturing industry because of the government stimulus, because of reshoring, because of energy transition, because of electrification. And you know that it's only 12, manufacturing is only 12% of the economy, but there is a multiplier effect. And for every one job created in manufacturing, 7 jobs are created around it. So that brings me to jobs. Initial claims have actually remained pretty strong, right? I mean, a 4-week moving average is down 16,000. I know it's still up 7% year over year, but very contained. And so you add it all up, and the Atlanta Fed number, GDP now, is for the second quarter is tracking at 2.9%. That's better than what I think a lot of people, including myself, were expecting.
What do you do with the index of leading indicators? What does that do?
I pay attention to it, but I also pay attention to the concern in the bank lending standards.
Yep.
It hasn't had an impact yet, and we'll get to the Fed and all that, but not perfect, Larry, not perfect by any means, but I'm looking at a couple of things, and I'm saying there are offsets, right? There are puts and takes. I just don't think it's as bad and as gloomy as people are expecting, and I think that's what's helped the market in check, because earnings have held in check.
Ken Polcari, Stephanie has just given us the glass is half full. What are you saying?
Well, so listen, I think it's very, and it's a pleasure to be on with you and Steph. It is interesting because, to her point, there's only a half a dozen names that are holding this market up. If those names start to struggle, then you'll see kind of the market pull back, I think, and you'll see the real weakness. But that being said, I do agree that there is some positive news out there. There are things to kind of pay attention to in terms of manufacturing and the economy holding up and earnings holding up. They weren't nearly as bad as they were originally expected to be in the second quarter. I think we came in at, what, down 4% versus, I think the expectation was down 6.5% originally as we moved into the earnings season. So I do see some bright lights, but I got to tell you, I'm not so sure the debt ceiling thing is playing that much of a role, because whoever really thought that the U.S. was going to default in the first place? We were never going to default, no matter what happens. They're going to make it all dramatic, and they're going to take it to the 11th hour, and they're going to, you know, go back and forth and say, look at how hard we worked to get this. We were never going to default. So I think while maybe it's playing this short-term plus, because they've changed the language, they're not using inflammatory language, now we're getting a debt deal done, I think that's taking some of the edge off. But the truth is, once we get through the debt ceiling, it's going to focus once again on inflation, what's going to happen with PCE at the end of the month, what's going to happen with CPI, PPI, what's the Fed going to do? There's now talk of not only a June rate hike, but you've got some in the Fed talking about even a 6% terminal rate, which I don't think the market's prepared for. And I think that's going to cause a cap on the market now and cause it to pull back a little bit. Not a disaster. I don't think we're going Morgan Stanley S&P 3000, not by any stretch. But I wouldn't be surprised if we test it again closer to 4,000 after we get through the debt ceiling thing.
By the way, whatever it's worth, and I'm not sure it matters to the stock market, yesterday the talks collapsed. They had a 10-minute right. meeting in the morning, and then they walked out. And then everybody was so freaked out, they came back at 6:30, but then they walked out of that meeting, too. And no new meetings are scheduled. Now, maybe that'll change. Maybe they'll have a meeting tomorrow. I mean, it's an impasse. I'm not worried about debt default. In fact, I'm in favor of shutting down the government, always have been. I would shut it down for long periods of time. It would be very helpful to the economy. Let me ask you this. Earnings reports and other commentary from consumer companies like Walmart and Target and Home Depot, what are those big firms telling us about consumers?
Who are you asking?
I mean, you can continue. I want to get both of you in this, but go ahead. You were on a roll there for a minute.
So, listen, I just want to clarify one thing. When you said shut the government down, that's separate from defaulting. Am I correct? Because I don't have a problem with shutting the government down, but yeah. The U.S. is not going to default.
No, we'll never default. Right? We have revenues right. to okay. pay the interest on the 10-year.
Right.
It's not going to be a problem. Right. I'm just saying,
right. So
my generic view as a free market capitalist, looking at what's going on in Washington, you want to shut the government down for 6 months, I'm all for it.
Right.
Now, that's a sidebar.
Agreed.
That's a sidebar.
Yeah, yeah.
I argued the same way when I was in the Trump administration. Shut it down, I don't care.
Right. So let's get back to the
consumer. Except I was an essential worker.
I think there's two stories going on here, right? The one was the Home Depot disappointment that we got earlier in the week. And then we saw Target and Walmart, you know, come out with a different story. They were better. Their guidance was better. But I think there's two different things going on there. Home Depot is all about, you know, renovating your house, do it yourself, fixing things up. And I think people are, A, tired of that after the, you know, they did that during COVID. They spent time kind of making the place pretty and all that. I think now they want different experiences. But on the other side, then you've got this looming recession coming. You have people that are nervous about what the future is. And so names like Walmart and Target, which appeal to, discounted products and better prices and all that stuff, are going to force the consumer to start to look there for more of their needs, even more so than they did. So I think the two different stories, I think the Home Depot story is a very specific story about people just tired about, at the moment, fixing up the house, spending the money
on
it.
They probably fixed them all up during COVID.
And they probably fixed it up, correct.
Stephanie, though, what did you learn from Walmart and Target?
So I learned that the four names that reported this week, being TJX, Target, Walmart, and Home Depot, we learned a little bit about everything. I think the guidance is definitely conservative, but the overall earnings actually held up remarkably well, considering everyone thinks that the consumer is going in the toilet. We had a beat and raise from TJX, and admittedly, they will benefit from people trading down and all the excess inventory in the system, because they buy all that stuff, right? And then they sell it at a discount, and that's the story. So not a surprise on TJ, very well positioned for the long term. I want to highlight, throughout all of the names, every single company said freight costs are down, and that helped margins. And I think that's going to be a theme throughout retail. That's a good thing. So even if the consumer slows down a bit, and I think they will, but I think they're going to still spend. But even if they do, they're offsetting it with lower costs across the board. Inflation has come down for these companies, so they're able to see higher margins. The second theme that I think is going to be throughout this earnings season for retail is inventories. Inventories at Target were down 16%, right? And their discretionary piece of inventories was down 25%. So that, too, is going to help the margin side of the equation. And I thought Target, there are a couple of things they did, company-specific, that were better than expected. Like I said, inventories, operating margins, gross margins. So while the consumer is slowing down a little bit and guidance was a little slow for the next couple of quarters, I'm not really that worried. Walmart is a shining star because they have all grocery, right? 60% of their revenues is grocery, and that's where the consumer is spending, that and services. Home Depot, I think it's rear-view looking, and I think we went from 2023 of being the earnings fear of numbers coming down to we're kind of troughing. If I'm right, and I think we see a housing pickup in the second half of the year and into next year, Home Depot is going to be the place where you want to go, and it's trading at a very attractive multiple. So I think there are company specifics across the board, but I think they're handling the situation the best that they can, and there are puts and takes. But I do not think any of these companies said the consumer is absolutely dead. Not at all. They're slowing, not dead.
I worry about the consumer because the EPA has forbidden you now. You can't buy a gas stove, you can't buy a shower head, you can't buy a toilet, you can't buy an air conditioner, you can't buy a new car. I mean, it's very difficult. All these climate change policies, you can't buy anything. You can't buy a light bulb. I mean, it's nothing. What can I buy, Stephanie? I can't buy anything. They're not going to let me buy anything because it doesn't meet the EPA's climate standards. It's very difficult living in America today. Very difficult.
I think there are plenty of things you can buy, but we are out. Kenny hit on it earlier. The consumer still is out and about on services, right? We know that that's the strength. That's going to slow too, but it's certainly been resilient and strong. And if you listen to the airlines and you listen to the cruise lines and you listen to all of the services companies, the casinos, I mean, they're just doing spectacularly well, and they're not seeing any kind of slowdown. It's just we went from a good buying consumer to a services one, and the goods are going to come back eventually. We just have some puts and takes within the consumer.
I worry about the airline business.
I mean, I do too. I don't want to own an airline, but I just want to listen to what they have to say about bookings. But I would just say as the one last thing, the consumer remains strong because the job market remains strong.
Flying has to be very difficult because it's going to be all powered by windmills. It's going to be very difficult now.
You've all traveled. I got to tell you, you go to any airport, they're overcrowded. Every seat on the plane is taken. And by the way, Steve, prices have done nothing but go up. Try buying a plane ticket now. The prices are absolutely incredible. And every plane is full. It's crazy. I just went on that cruise. There were plenty of people on the cruise. The ship was full of people, and everyone was enjoying themselves and having a great time. And so to the experience side of the consumer, I think that's what they're looking for. They're tired of being locked down. They're tired of just doing that stuff. They want to get out and about.
Kenny, those pictures were gorgeous on Twitter.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go?
I was on that Steve Forbes Investment Summit cruise
that started in Venice and went down
the Adriatic all the way to Istanbul, Turkey, and back to Athens. It was really spectacular. But the cruise ship, you know, was a region. It was Norwegian Cruise Line, but it was their boutique cruise line. So it's only a smaller ship, 600 people on the ship plus 400 workers. It was really, really spectacular.
Why, kids? Why is oil only $70? With the Saudis cut oil production allegedly by over a million But oil's really done nothing. So I'm looking crude oil, WTI, 71.5. Brent crude, 75.5. Are you surprised at the weakness in oil?
Yes.
I am surprised.
Yeah, me too. Kenny, go ahead.
No, I'm surprised. I figured that, and I think what you're going to hear on June 4th when OPEC meets again is that they're going to rattle the cages about cutting production even more because the Saudis don't like $70 oil. They like $80 is their sweet spot. Certainly 90 is even better. But I think that's what you're going to hear in June. But yes, to your point, I'm a little bit confused on why oil's trading down here at 70. They keep, you know, one day they come up with the China's not growing as fast story, and then the U.S. demand is declining and the recession's coming and demand destruction. I think all that's baloney because I think there's plenty of energy demand around the world, not only here but around the world. So I am confused on why oil's trading at $70. I certainly expected it to be higher, close to 80 anyway.
By the way, you can't buy I got to take a break, but I forgot you can't buy a washing machine either. Jay Powell wants to pause interest rates, or so it seems. The meeting is in June. What do you think?
So I think they do. I think they raise in June and then pause. I think that's the announcement because they're going to get. They want to get the terminal rate to the 5.25-5.5% range, which in my mind meets and just kisses where inflation is. Now you can use two different numbers, right? The CPI top number is 4.9%, but ex food and energy was 5.5%. So whichever argument you want to use, they want to get the terminal rate at least above or at the inflationary rate, so which is why I think in June you're going to see a rate increase of 25 basis points, and then they're going to say at this moment we're going to pause after that. We're going to give it a couple of months. We're going to watch it. We're going to see. But they're not taking out further rate hikes off the table, and the pivot idea, that's out for 2023. Anyone who still thinks the Fed's going to pivot 23, you better be careful what you wish for, because the only reason they're going to pivot is if something falls completely off the edge or we get some black swan event that we weren't expecting that sends the economy into a complete tailspin.
You mean pivot meaning rates will fall.
Pivot meaning cut.
Cut,
right.
Yeah.
They're pricing in 75 basis point cuts by Christmas, which makes zero sense to me. I'd be curious to see what, Stephanie, what do you think?
Yeah, Steph, what's your Fed watch?
Yeah, I think that I think there's a very good chance they go in June. I'm looking at the Philly Fed regional manufacturing series last week, and the number is still negative, but it was a lot better than feared, if you will. But the prices paid index went higher, and we know where CPI is. We know where core PCE is. We know where unit labor cost is, all elevated, well above what the Fed wants. So I think they go. But I would say that you're in the eighth or ninth inning in terms of the Fed doing what they're going to do. If they do another one after June, maybe that's it. But to Kenny's point, no, I think they stay higher for longer. This inflation story is not going away. It's very sticky. It has to do with jobs and wages and services, which take a long time. We know that there's a lag impact of what the Fed does, right, by about a year and a half or so. And we're basically just at the year point, right, a little over a year in terms of what they've been doing. So we're going to slow. Inflation will eventually come down, but I don't think it's going to be this year. So, no. They may pause, but no pivot.
Right. Does it matter that M2 money supply is crashing and that Ed Hyman is now predicting negative in Q3, negative GDP in Q4, negative GDP in Q1? Kenny?
I don't know how you go from something like 2.5% GDP in the second quarter to all of a sudden negative. I think we're going to slow down. But I think that I still think there's a lot of stimulus in the system from all the stuff that we did over the last 3 years. It takes a long time to get that out of the system, right?
Yeah.
So to me, I'm not sure if it's a recession or a soft landing. I don't think it's a hard one, though. I just don't.
All right.
And again, I'd point back to the consumer.
Soft landing link. That's what we're going to do. Soft landing link. Stephanie Link and Ken Polcari. Both of you kids, thank you ever so much. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. And the other side, we're going to do some money in politics with Liz Peek and Steve Moore. I'm Kudlow. Please stay with us.